First things first, I just want to thank you for taking some time to be with me and my listeners.
Oh, no problem at all.
I know you don't have tons of spare time kicking around.
I'm trying to keep it rolling. You know how it is.
Oh, my God. Well, rolling indeed is what you've been doing. I'd love to just take a moment to thank you, in my opinion, for making sure that it is kept real on this new release of Marcus.
Man, I tell you, that's what people are saying to me, man. It's really interesting, man, that the first thing people say is, oh, thank you for the real music. So, I guess people maybe are getting tired of the stuff that sounds kind of manufactured, I guess, but we've been trying to keep it real, as they say.
Oh, my gosh. It's real not just in one dimension. With so many styles and ranges, just like on many of your albums and things that you dive into, you know, there's some deep R&B and soul to the jazzy funk in there, and the opening track, Blast, is such a perfect, for me, a perfect track and a perfect way to open it up. It's like the path to the door for this album.
Yeah, well, I think that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to give you a song to open up that if you accept that song, you'll be ready to accept anything after that, you know? And Blast is a song that has a Middle Eastern sound with planet rock hip-hop beat and some funky bass playing all in the same package. So I was really happy that I found something I could open it up like that with.
Yeah, it's a serious way to get the listener to really want to go flip the page, hit the next track, and see where it's really going to take them.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, by the time you get through Higher Ground and you're on your way to Milky Way, featuring Keb Mo, who's one of my personal favorites as well, Mr. Kevin Moore. Now, he used to play at a place back where I grew up called the Shabu. He was there way back. I don't think he'd even want me to tell you when.
He was telling me about those days, though.
Yeah, he's an amazing artist.
He's a great artist, and you know, he lives not far from me, and you know, we had like a neighborly relationship where I'd go grab a guitar pick from him, or he'd come say, look, put some bass on this thing for me. But we always wanted to do something together, and we finally got to do it on this song, so I was really happy about that.
I'm very pleased as well. He has a beautiful sound on that track, and then also sampled on Pluck.
Yeah. We had to keep it going with the Keb Mo sound for one more song.
Oh, the heart was beating on that one. That's a beautiful track. I've already played it on the air.
Oh, good.
And it's just a wonderful segue into, you know, to and from another source of sound.
Right.
I just really love that track.
Oh, good. Thanks.
And I thank you for including Layla Hathaway.
Oh, you know we had to do that.
Oh, on Of Something So Sexy As Ooh as well.
She did her first gig with me back in the early 90s when she was fresh out of Berklee School of Music, you know. And we knew that, you know, she's going to have an unbelievable career. And it's just so nice to see it build. It was building very slowly but very steadily, and more people would be jumping into her camp, becoming true fans of hers, and I'm really happy to see that.
Yeah, well, she doesn't disappoint on the track, Ooh, not at all.
Yeah, it'll be a little different from what you're used to hearing from her, because it's kind of funky.
It's,
you know?
It's sassy.
And she doesn't have any problem with it either.
No.
Check it out.
Yeah, it seemed like it came pretty naturally to her.
Oh, absolutely.
And something that I really love, the innovative thought behind a lot of the music that you're involved with, but certainly Rolling with the Times on 'Cause I Want You with a spoken word.
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk about the artist that you worked with on that one a little bit?
His name is Shihan the Poet.
Let's give him some props, yeah.
Yeah. Shihan the Poet is, he's a poet. He lives here in L.A. He's originally from New York, and he's got a really nice following of people who are into spoken word, which is really poetry recited with some vibe to it, you know. And he's been on the Def Jam Poetry Hour many times, and he's a favorite of that audience, you know. And I've been listening to the spoken word a lot, going, man, I would really like to try to combine it with some of my music and see what we could get. I had done something similar about 10 years ago with Michelle and Ndegi Achello, who's a great artist, and we had done a song called Rush Over that was very popular.
Right.
And essentially that was spoken word before they had a name for it. But now that it's developed such a huge audience, I want to dip back in there again and start it up again. And Shihan the Poet is just a great artist. I love the way he puts his words and his phrases together. It's so musical and it's so interesting, and I think it's a really nice new sound.
It could be an all-time love song for the day.
Yeah, because he's not soft, but, you know, you can tell he's in love with the person he's talking about. It's so real, you know.
It's the song everyone wish they wrote, you know, the letter they wish they wrote to their girlfriend at
right,
some point.
Right, you might have to learn the lyrics and just pass it off as your own at some point.
Change a couple of them around, maybe, I don't know. But it's a Valentine's Day card wrapped up with wonderful music around
it. There you go.
the last little piece on that album. You know, there's so much. I dive in. I've been asked, "What's your favorite track?" And it changes moment by moment. And I certainly don't think it's fair to not digest enough of it to even give opinions for a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, from top to bottom, it's a friendly album. It makes you want to listen to more and more and more and say, what's he going to do next?
Yeah, where are they going? These people are crazy.
Yeah, and the people that you've chosen to work with, putting them all together on this album really completes the package. And I thank you for choosing wisely. It really catches the ear and it really comes across with such feeling.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we have, Kev Moore, like you mentioned, and Layla Hathaway and Sheehan the Poet. There's also Corinne Bailey Ray, who does a beautiful version of Free, which was an old Denise Williams song. And we got David Sanborn. He and I go back a long time. I wrote many songs for David and played on a lot of his albums and got him on the album. It's just really nice. And one interesting thing was I did, towards the end of the album, I did an old Tower of Power song called What Is Hip.
Yes.
And on that song, I got the original organist from Tower of Power. I went up to the Oakland Bay Area and asked him if he would play on this song. And he was nice enough to play, and it's really, really nice to have him on there.
Yeah, amen to that. I saw Tower of Power recently open up for Tom Jones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been pretty cool.
Oh, man, that was way cooler than I was expecting.
Yeah.
To be totally honest, it was far out, and the crowd was just as fun as the music.
Yeah, 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 I could imagine.
Just wanted to comment a nice rendition of Jean-Pierre.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful, yeah.
Jean-Pierre is a song, I played in Miles Davis's band in the early 80s, and that was one of the songs that we played when I was in the band. You know, it brings back a nice memory of Miles, seeing how he used to keep that audience in the palm of his hand when he was playing that trumpet,
Yeah.
And, basically a dedication to him, which every album there's going to be some dedication to him because he was so important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was pulled off masterfully. I appreciated for sure.
Well, thank you.
I recently have been featuring some tracks off of Cannon Reloaded.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, how did that project find you?
For me, it was pretty easy. I just picked up the phone.
Nice.
And Tom Scott was on the other end saying, hey, I want to do a tribute to Cannonball Adderley, and I want to do it with one band. People don't really do that anymore, but back in the 70s, 80s, and even in the 90s, you used to just get one band, and they used to cut 12 songs, and that was the album. Tom wanted to go back to that kind of style of making music, so he had Steve Gadd on drums, and he had Terrence Blanchard on trumpet, and he had George Duke on keyboards, and myself on bass, and we just went through, Cannonball Adderley's most popular songs, man, and just found some arrangements that worked for our group and did it. Really, really nice album. And then an acoustic bass player, Dave Carpenter, came and played on a couple of songs as well. So it's a really, really nice package.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure we just chatted quickly about that as well. It is also a brand new release. Man, you've been busy.
Yeah, we got to keep that music out there, man.
Yeah, you certainly do.
Yeah, well, what I'm hoping I can do is have enough of a fresh sound so that, younger people who don't know much about jazz can say, hey, I don't know much about jazz, but I like that beat, and then I can pull them in, because that's how I got pulled in. I heard music like Herbie Hancock's music and, Chick Corea, and the beat pulled me in, and then I started learning more about this music jazz, and it was a beautiful lesson for me. So I'm hoping I can pass on that favor to young listeners now.
Well, school is definitely in session, because I happen to work with some youngsters. I've been working with kids virtually my whole life, adult life, and these youngsters, 3 to 6, they're listening to your music right now in class. So it's part of a little thing I do with Movement, and they're shaking it down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, just turn Blast up loud. We'll get the kid.
Oh, the kids are, so I'm starting them young.
Yes.
Following your path, and who knows where they go from an influence like that.
Absolutely, it's nice. Even if they just become music fans and just learn to love to listen to music, that's great, too.
Even if they just slap their knee.
Yes.
It's just a way to start.
Absolutely.
So Roberta Flack fired you, huh?
Roberta Flack fired me. I said, why are you firing me? I guess I was 20 years old. Why are you firing me? She said, you're too expensive, and I see you doing much greater things than just playing bass for me. And I said, like what? And she said, well, I see you not playing bass on anybody's record unless you're the producer, and I see you playing with great people like Miles Davis. And of course, I just thought she was just finding a nice way to fire me.
That's right.
And within a year, I was playing in Miles' band and producing records and playing on them, and all the stuff was coming true. So she's very important to me. She's like mom,
And now it also seems to me, when listening to the work you've done with Luther Vandross, that you two are just soulmates of music, man.
Oh, man, well, we met in Roberta's band.
Right.
She fired him at the same time. It wasn't just me.
So you guys clung on together, and from there on in.
Her accountant said, hey, man, you need to leave Spencer Musicians alone. But, you know, he and I, we worked on his first demo together. You know, he was already a popular background singer in New York, and we worked on his first demo together because he wanted to put himself out there as an artist, and he fought to get himself a record deal. It took a while, and he eventually did, and first record went platinum, and next thing you know, he's Luther Vandross, you know.
Yeah.
We continue to write music and produce music together for, you know, maybe 25 years.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It is incredible that a relationship formed so long ago was able to be kept through music.
Well, what was cool about it was that, you know, if you get famous really fast, you start looking for people that you can trust, because a lot of other people come into your life.
Yeah, you know? I'm your best friend now.
Yeah, exactly. And he and I were already cool, you know. I really respected him, man, because he was so into music, into singing. He was as serious about singing and the voice as I was about music and the instruments. So it was great for him to have a friend who also took care of business musically.
Yeah. You know?
So, and it's the same thing for me. So that's why I think it works so well.
Yeah, it's the peanut butter and the jelly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and together,
Yeah, very nice, yeah.
Very nice. Another one of my personal favorites, and you had a hand in the production of Tutu, the Mr. Miles Davis 1986 album. To talk about the album doesn't even do it justice, but if you could perhaps describe a typical day in the studio on that project. Something, I know typical is not a fair word in any
ever. No,
there were
typical days, absolutely,
yeah.
Because, you know, Miles really, and it was unusual, but he gave me a lot of free rein on Tutu, you know.
Mm.
I had written the song Tutu, and I had written a couple of others, and he heard it, and he said, hey, I like where you're going. Keep doing your thing. So I would go in the studio, and I'd work on the music by myself. I'd call other musicians to come in and add parts. And then I'd call Miles when I thought it was time for him to hear the whole thing and add some trumpet to it. So, you know, Miles, get down here, man. Can you get down here half an hour? You know, I sound confident now, but I was pretty terrified when I was communicating with him because he was Miles Davis, you know.
Yeah.
But when he got to the studio, man, he'd listen and he'd, and I tried to record him while he was hearing what I had done for the first time so he could react really, like, fresh. You know, he could give me his first impressions of the music coming through his horns. So I would make sure everything's set up, and I'd put the headphones on him, and I'd tell the engineer to press play. And I'd watch his face. You know, I had a lot of weird sounds coming out of the headphones, you know, and he'd react to him. It was just beautiful to see him just being inspired, you know, because he was 60 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beautiful to see him inspired and making new music.
It's amazing that you had such free reign on such a, you know, a classic album.
Yeah, he was always looking for a way to keep his music fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he collaborated with a lot of great musicians. He collaborated with Gil Evans in the 50s, who did a lot of arrangements for him for Sketches of Spain. And you know, in the 60s, he hooked up with Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter, and Wayne wrote a lot of music for him. You know, Joe Zawinul did a lot of stuff, Chick Corea. So it wasn't that unusual, but the way we were making music in the 80s was just where, you know, I could play a lot of the instruments myself because of overdubbing. So I think that allowed me to have even a bigger hand in his music.
The overdub is nice. Certainly makes putting a project together at least a little bit more, you can kind of do it a little bit more on a solo basis if need be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if, you know, you should do it like that all the time, but it was the 80s, and it was new at the time, and I was looking at the music more like a painting. You know, when you do a painting, you do a little bit, and you stand back, and you look at it to decide what you should add next, you know? And then you go back to it and add that, and then you look at it again, and that's how I was making the music. I was, you know, doing a basic track and listening to it and saying, oh, it would be nice if a French horn came in here, or nice if a bass clarinet entered here, and I would just do it like a painting, and I thought it was a nice departure from Miles.
That's nice to know. Thank you for sharing. Very cool. Now, speaking of a track that I'm eventually going to hope I can share, I have a copy, a link to Round Midnight.
Which one? Is Layla singing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unreleased, correct?
It's released in Japan. They needed an extra song.
It is Japan. Okay.
They needed an extra song, so we included that on a Japanese version of an album that came out in 1991 called The Sun Don't Lie.
Yes, exactly.
A beautiful version of Round Midnight that Layla Hathaway sings, and Joe Saville plays the piano, and Tom Brown plays the trumpet on. I said, where'd you get that, man?
BB.
It's like that, huh?
Yeah. Honestly, that track did bring a tear. It welled up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's powerful.
And I'm playing the bass. I played a melody on the bass clarinet on that song because that was when I first really discovered that instrument. Since then, it's become like my second voice. You know, I'll play the bass at a concert, but eventually I'll pick up the bass clarinet and play that. And I love the sound of it. It's so beautifully natural.
Yeah.
And wooden and dark and warm. And I really like that. So Brown Midnight was one of the first songs that I was really working with that instrument on. So between the bass clarinet and Layla's voice, you get a lot of warmth there.
Oh man, I don't have much recollection, but it feels like what a womb would feel like almost.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like the birth of song right there. That track.
Yeah, I really like that. I'm glad you got to hear that.
Yeah, and I, you know, with your permission, wouldn't mind sharing that with a listening audience.
Oh yeah, please play that for everybody.
And I do think that will bring tears to most people's eyes. It's just so very powerful.
Oh good, good. I'm glad you like it. That's really one of the earlier ones that I did, and I really was pleased the way it came out.
Soul, total soul. So we've been talking about the new album, Marcus, which folks can get anywhere they want. You know, anywhere you might look for music, it's probably going to be there. And it's a Three Deuces Records release?
Three Deuces distributed through Concord, right?
Through Concord. Now, Three Deuces is...
That's my label.
That's your label.
So I released maybe 5 or 6 albums through Three Deuces. And, you know, we find distributors who are excited about the music and really happy to find Concord, who's doing great things musically now, you know, trying to keep the music real like we are.
Agreed.
And so I think it'll be a very nice relationship.
Yeah. You must have had to fend people off on this one, though. This is going to be, this is a special album.
Oh, thank you.
And I know it took you a while to get it to fruition.
Yeah, I got it. You know, it took a little while, but then we released it in Europe and Japan first under another name, Free, because I still wasn't ready to put it out in the United States. I wanted to add some spoken word stuff and, you know, the spoken word stuff that we talked about that I didn't know if it would have, if it would appeal to people who didn't speak English, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because there's so many words in the spoken word thing that you might not get it. But I really wanted to do that for the U.S. version, so we took a little bit more time, and then we were talking to different record labels to see who would be interested and excited about putting it out. So everything came together, and we released it, and I think it's a perfect time.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time. As spring starts to click her heels...
There we go.
There it is. So folks can run out and get Marcus Miller. Marcus, look for it everywhere you get music. You know, I know you like to accept a challenge. What do you see on your horizon? Anything? I know we're just working off a new album here, but projects must knock on your door often. Is there anything out there that you'd love to try that you haven't? I know the spoken word, you finally got to
dabble. Yeah, the spoken word. I'm working on an album with 2 other basses. I'm working with Victor Wooten and Stanley Clark.
Oh, well, there you go.
And we're making a 3-bass album. We're trying to find the common ground where we all can do our thing on the same record. It's really exciting.
I'm excited right now. I am totally excited. That's going to be something special, and I'm sure I will love to share that with listeners as well.
Yeah, we're working on it as we speak.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for spending your time with me tonight.
All right, thank you.